Hey everyone, and welcome to Divination episode 12. Divination is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller. Our topic this episode is developing systems to work smarter, save money, and live better. To help us explore this topic, I was joined by guest host Sarah Oates. Today, Sarah is a full-time freelance web designer living and working out of Canberra, Australia. But at one time in the not-so-distant past, she had two kids at home, a part-time job, and a growing freelance design business on the side. It was in that period of her life that she began to develop systems, routines, templates, and models of operation that helped her meet the increasing demands of her time and creativity. We got into all of that and a lot more when we sat down for our chat. Here's our conversation. Sarah, welcome to Divination.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you.
It's exciting to be here.
Glad you could be here. You're definitely the very first guest we've ever had from Australia. So thanks for joining
Excellent.
Us.
Nice to be a number one.
Number one, big first. Yeah, that was a moment of contention for I think James SJ. He wanted to be the first Brit that we had on the show. He missed it by one. So you are definitely the first Australian. It's morning and a whole different day. It's like Wednesday for you right now, right?
Yeah, Wednesday morning, 10 a.m.
Tuesday at 7:15 p.m. here. So, crazy world we live in.
It sure is. It's been really interesting starting working in web design because I had only ever worked with Australians previously. And then all of a sudden I was doing this web design and I'm starting to relate to people in the UK and in America.
Yeah.
And I've got like my Mac set up with all the different clocks, the world clocks. And
yeah, I have
it's
that
just
too.
A crazy world that like, you know, we can be interacting with people who are in a completely different day, but still in the same present moment. I think it's amazing.
I love it. I remember explaining that to my parents for the first time. They're like, so what exactly do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a blogger and I write for a bunch of different websites. And they're like, well, where are these people located? Are they in your same city? And I'm like, well, no, they're in Russia or the UK or they're, you know, all over the world. And they're like, you're telling me that every day you wake up and you write an article for someone who literally lives halfway across the world and they can pay you and that's how you make a living. I'm pretty much. That's how it works.
Yeah. I assumed that like when I started web design, I would end up with all like local clients and I'd be like going out to cafes and trying to like sell them on a web page. But I've been so surprised that I think I've done two, maybe three websites in my own town.
Yeah.
And everything else has either been somewhere else in Australia or somewhere else overseas. And it's just crazy. Like I never thought I would be not working locally.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I think now it's almost funny because I feel like some of the conversations I've had surrounding people trying to make a living is it's almost like a novel idea to work local, like, find a local niche. That's like a secret, you know, like go to a local physical group and drum up some business. No one thinks of that nowadays. It's so funny how we've kind of come full circle where it's like, you know, we do something no one would have heard of like even 20 years ago. And now people are finally rediscovering the local scene in their area. Yeah. Like, oh, I can get work right here at home. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to go over today. The first segment that we typically get into is called This Week in WordPress. You want to read some articles and talk about them?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
So this week in WordPress, there were three articles that caught my eye. I sent them ahead of time to Sarah so that she could read them and we could talk about them. Article number one is called The 5 Words You Need to Hear When You Feel Like You're Not Good Enough. This article was published over on ProBlogger, and it was written by Stacey Roberts. And according to her, the 5 words you need to hear is done is better than perfect. There's actually quite a bit in the article, but to keep it simple, Sarah, what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, I had a couple of thoughts. I thought it was fantastic. And I think it's particularly relevant for a lot of us as web designers, because the worst web page to do is your own web page. And I've been talking to a lot of people lately who are trying to get going in the business. And so they're doing their own web page and they're kind of sending it to me and saying, what do you think of this? And how does this look? And I love being a part of that with people, but I remember for me, my web page was the one I hated the most. I hated coming up with content. I didn't know, like, what should I put in? What should I leave out? I kind of want to show off what I can do. And so I spent forever doing my own web page, and I was actually doing all these other people's web pages and not my own one, which meant I could never actually promote myself. And I think it's a great idea of just get it done. Like, my webpage is always going to be in a state of improvement where I'm never done with it. Like, it's never going to be completed and perfect, but having something up there, no matter what it is, even if it's just something, is better than not having anything up there. And getting yourself out there, even if it's a progression, then you add something here or there. Like, I've only just done my frequently asked questions. So, like, I've been slowly adding different avenues along the way. I added like forms and, you know, we'll get into that later, but it took me a while. Like, I started with just this one page, really simple thing, and slowly added my portfolio and slowly added. And I think it's better just to have something online. Mm-hmm. And we're always going to be so self-critical of ourselves with our own web pages, but just getting something done is better than nothing.
Yeah. And you can always improve, right? So like that's my big thing is, you know, get it out there, get it done, ship whatever it is you want to do, your product, your website, for me, an episode. And if there's something wrong with it, like, you could labor over it forever and it's still only going to ever get up to a certain quality level because there's probably 100 different things that, you know, are contributing to that are not really within your power to change. So it's like, you know, make a list of things that you're going to improve the next time and do those next time, do it better. And just, if you do that fast enough and you do it quick enough, before you know it, you're going to have a product or a website or whatever that is just leaps and bounds better than what you were able to do just a short time ago.
Yeah.
Huge fan of that mentality.
I think so many of us like just get stuck on it and trying to do the perfections and the last bits at the end. And sometimes you've just got to get it done and like, maybe it's not perfect, but you know, clients will come back to you if there's something that's a little bit amiss and then you can fix it up later. But it's better to just start moving with it. I think it was something the article was talking about was like robot blocks and just starting small, like just get yourself going. Like even if you get stuck on like feeling like you're not creative enough or whatever, but just get going with it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, obviously this is not a call for low standards by any means, but what it is to say, you know, work to the best of your ability and don't beat yourself up about not being able to be better than you currently are.
Yes.
And then as you learn new things and as you can improve, then perfect as you get better. Don't try to be the best there is in the world your first time out or you know, whatever you might.
Absolutely. I've been known to like go back on the sly and fix one of my old clients' websites. Yeah. Like, you know, if I did it, but I kind of wished I could have done something extra, but I just got it done. They paid, they were happy and we moved on. I didn't like labor in it for hours and hours and hours. But then at the same time, like later on when I learned that thing I wanted to do, I just went back on the sly and like chucked it in there. Because, you know, it feels good to be able to fix something that you wanted to do. But I didn't spend hours and hours in that moment doing it. Instead, I moved on and came back to it.
Couldn't agree more. Let's jump to the next article. The next article is called Life with My Robot Secretary. So this was published on fastcodesign.com by Mark Wilson. This article talks about, it kind of uses the analogy of a few recent movies, Ex Machina and Her, and talking about artificial intelligence and the future of, you know, virtual assistants and actually quite a bit more than that. But the immediate example is a service called Clara. And Clara is a... it came out of the Y Combinator, which is a tech startup incubator. And this startup is all about using and training an AI personal assistant named Clara. And so right now they have like an army of people who help to train Clara to basically set up meetings. That's its main function is, you know, to take the small administrative tasks out of, you know, syncing up with someone else, something I could probably use for booking guests. What did you think about, I mean, it seems really effective. It seems, like it works really well. It's incredibly pricey right now. I think, cause I don't know that I would pay, for instance, $50 a month for their lowest version just to book meetings for me every month. But I could see as it gets cheaper, really using something like this. I guess my main reason for wanting to talk about it with you is, you know, our main subject today is all about systems. And this is like the ultimate system. This is a system that can think for you, you know, this is a system that can do the problem solving for you. I don't know, what did it make you think of? What was your response to this article?
I felt really mixed. Like, as I went through the article, there was parts of it where I was like, wow, that would be amazing. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a personal assistant? Mm-hmm. Like, who wouldn't want to have some, whether it's AI or an actual person organizing things in your life, like, that would be perfect. I feel like my life is incredibly chaotic, and who wouldn't want to have someone help you organize things so you don't double book? And, and maybe for someone who is having, you know, multiple meetings every day, then this would be really useful for them. But at the same time, I found it a bit scary, like the whole concept. And in the article, they talk about how they surveyed all these people who had received calls from Clara, and how most of them didn't know that it was AI. Like, they just thought it was an actual person.
Just thought it was a person.
And they got emails, and it was all very personal. And they were saying that's because it is being filtered currently through people. But the end game
is to have it be, completely automated, completely independent. Yeah. Not just automated, but AI, you know, artificial, actually thinking for itself. So.
Yeah. And I mean, it kind of scares me a little bit. Like, he was kind of saying, you know, and it even kind of thought of things that he hadn't thought of. Like, it knew where he was at that particular time. So, and like, knew his favorite cafes. And I love, like, I watch Humans. I don't know if you've seen that show.
That's a J.J. Abrams show, right? It's on TV.
I don't know who makes it, but it's like, it's all about artificial intelligence and how they have like these in-home robots who are very human-like. Anyway, I'm totally hooked on that. Like, I love that as a TV show. I'm just not sure that I'm ready to like welcome that into my business. Like, but I think it's an interesting thought, and I know certainly I'm definitely open to finding ways that are going to make me more productive. So I'll be watching this space.
You know, we've had several guests on the show who have taken the step to hire a project manager or someone else to help with administrative tasks. You know, is that something that you've gotten to the point where you want to do, or are you maybe not to that stage of, I guess, is that just not a requirement for you right now?
Yeah, it's not a requirement for me right now. Like, I've only been full-time in my business this year. So I only quit my job in February this year, and I'm just getting going. So, but I see in my 5-year plan, roughly, that within that time, I would love to be hiring some people. I'm definitely open to it, but I really want to spend a little bit of time initially making my brand really strong and who I am. I think some of my personality is what I bring to my business. And I want to make sure that gets really strong before I start welcoming others into being a part of that. But certainly, like, in the next 2 years, I can definitely see myself outsourcing some of the, you know, bits and pieces that just take time, but not necessarily a lot of skill, or, you know, organizing things with clients. But I love the client contact. I think I would struggle to let go of the client contact.
So verdict is, it's useful but scary.
Yeah, sounds
useful but scary, like, but maybe in the future.
Give me 10 years on that one.
All right, let's jump to our third and final article. This one is called The Productive Person's Guide to Serendipity, and this was by Rodolphe Dutel, and I probably butchered that name, and this was published on thenextweb.com. So this was an interesting article. And I think it is particularly apt for people like you and I who do put a lot of systems in place in our life. We can start to feel like our entire life has been scripted for us. We have everything planned out to a T. And then all of a sudden we start to miss, you know, the serendipity of an unplanned life, you know, the things that happen when you're not expecting it and you didn't plan for it. And it's nice. So this article is basically about how to incorporate that, or thoughts on incorporating. I don't know that they ever gave a recipe for how to do it for everybody. But I guess that would be my question to you. Are there, you know, things that you do to try to welcome, a healthy level of uncertainty into your business, into your days at least?
Yeah. I agree mostly with this article. The whole side of serendipity, I think, talks a bit about luck and like just allowing like things like that to come in. But I see it similar in terms of, I think when I have systems in place, it does allow freedom for diverting from that system. So I have two kids, and I have one kid in school and another kid who is 2 years old. And so I work when he is sleeping. So sometimes that changes. Like, sometimes he won't sleep, or we'll be out and he'll fall asleep while we're out, and therefore he doesn't have a sleep during the day, or, you know, we go away and so I don't have my night times where I work. And I think there's something about having systems in place that gives a little bit of freedom in that. So you know that things are still going to keep moving even though changes might come, and it gives flexibility to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to go out with my friends this Wednesday night, even though that's when I would normally work.
Yeah.
Because I can be flexible and still fit those things in other places. So I think it's interesting. Like, I know when I was working, and I'm guessing many of us are like this, we're working in jobs where people tell us what to do all the time and we're having to follow rules, and we kind of think, oh, it'd be great when I run my own business because I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, I can sleep in, I can, and to a point that's true, but,
but I've
actually found, and I've actually found as I've gone on that I really need to have systems in place and I actually need to set rules for myself where I do work between these particular hours, and I always make sure I respond to clients within a certain amount of time. And I, so I have these rules for myself that by having those rules, it means things are continuing and moving.
Yeah.
And then if something comes up, I know I can step back because I have it all still moving and I know what's going on.
Yeah, I thought that too, is the fact that it's almost like our systems are, for me, I like to think of it as, you know, I think systems, yes, but mostly I think of like rituals, like my daily rituals, or like I break my day down into sections and then I say, well, how do I, you know, how do I go about this? And I think if I have a plan for that, like you're saying, I almost feel like true serendipity is like something good happening, like unexpectedly, like something unexpectedly happening to benefit you. So what I found is that when I don't have a system in place for my everyday, I don't get, I don't have the option of allowing serendipity to happen because there's so much uncertainty that I can't really allow myself to take that risk because there's too many variables. Yeah. But if I know,
there's so much chaos going on. Like if you don't calm that chaos, you can't even know whether you can welcome something else in.
Exactly.
So I think there's something about settling everything and knowing everything's in its right place.
Right. It's like, no, if I can keep 90 or 80% of everything organized and then something else comes along and I decide to change it up for that, you know, 10, 15, 20%. All right, cool. That's fine. That's manageable and it's beneficial and it's pleasant.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, anxiety inducing uncertainty.
Yeah. I mean, I liked what Gino talked about, how he has one day set aside for that stuff, where he has his entire week planned out, but then he has this one day where he can just welcome in whatever comes. And if nothing comes, then he can work on his own projects. I would love to have a little bit of room to work on my own projects. So I loved hearing that. Like, and I would love to be at the point at some point where I can be, you know, dedicating a block of time for those unexpected things. And maybe that time moves from a Monday to a Friday.
Sure. Well, just knowing that you have it, if something comes up, you can say, oh, well, in my head, I'm shifting that time to now. And I know that I just have to rearrange things. It's not, oh, well, I'm just going to go do these things and let chips fall where they may. That may be a little too loose of a way to go about things.
And then clients fall off the list.
Exactly.
And, you know, people get upset because you haven't kept up with what you said, but you know that you've got room. You just have to rearrange.
Yeah,
I really like that thought.
So, for anybody that's looking to work some more serendipity into their work life, their life in general, stay tuned because we're going to talk about how to develop systems to work smarter, save money, and live better. And those systems are going to allow you to have the peace of mind to let random events come into your life and do some wonderful things on occasion. So that's all for this edition of This Week in WordPress. If you're interested in reading the articles we discussed, YouTube viewers can check the video description for links, and everyone else can find the show notes on our blog. Just go to the community category in the right-hand sidebar of our blog and check out the post for Divination Episode 12. The next segment of the show is where we get to know our guest hosts in a bit more detail and pick their brain on this episode's main topic. Our guest today is Sarah Oates, and our topic is developing systems to work smarter, save money, and live better. Let's get into it. So before we get really deep into the main topic, I always like to get some context on, you know, who we're talking to, what their story is. So would you mind maybe, Sarah, starting us off with some backstory?
Yeah, sure. I think it's really interesting getting to know other people in these groups and seeing where everyone's come from. I'm actually fairly new into web. So I spent the first 10 years of my working career working for a nonprofit organization doing youth work and community work. And as a part of that, they didn't have a lot of money. And so I volunteered.
I've worked for nonprofits. I know exactly how that goes.
Yeah. And I mean, there's really amazing things to do with that. And there's some downfalls as well. But one of the things I discovered, I was always interested in graphic design, like, you know, kind of when you're in school and you're using Microsoft Publisher and, you know, that kind of thing. And then when I was working for this nonprofit, they needed flyers and posters and, you know, different bits and pieces. And I just got interested and started, you know, being self-taught, I guess. My family is reasonably creative. My dad's an architect. And so I think that stuff is kind of running through my genes a little bit. And so then when I had this opportunity, I was like, yeah, that's great. So I got taught by some other people who were in that nonprofit as well. And I just kind of slowly developed my skills over the 10 years. At one point, I built a website for one of our smaller centers, but it was done with like one of these old, I think it was like with Corel or something. Like it was,
I was going to ask if it was Dreamweaver or something like that.
It was before Dreamweaver. Like it was like, it wasn't HTML, but it was like one of those visual ones. Anyway, it was bad. Like it was so bad. But at the same time, like I think I've always had this dream of supporting good things and feeling like the branding and people weren't putting enough effort into the website. So the organization I was working with just had this really old school website and I felt like I wasn't selling what we were doing. What we were doing was amazing work.
Right. And you got to have a visual representation of like the values behind what it is you're doing. Like I know exactly what you're talking about, that feeling that, you know, something important is happening here and no one recognizes it because they can't see past the ugly website, you know?
Yeah.
So if I could only, you know, give them the vehicle to change the world, they probably would change the world.
Yeah. And I felt like I didn't have that skill. Like I was learning that I was quite capable with visual design and that, you know, that came fairly easy to me, which was great. But then when it came to building a website, like I didn't know what I was doing and I was kind of, I ended up trying to help them with a Joomla website and I couldn't find my way.
Joomla's kind of confusing. I mean, I've blogged on Joomla sites before and I got to say, as far as I guess intuitiveness for content creation, I don't even know about the web design aspect of it for just updating content on a Joomla site I found was so much, you know, more difficult than it seemed like it needed to be. So I can't imagine what it would have been like to just put one up and try to figure out the design and architecture for a whole site.
Well, that was kind of like my first proper trying to get into this whole web thing when I was still working with them. And so I had back in the story, I had been over in China for a year and a half doing community development over there and then ended up getting pregnant with my first child and we decided to come back to Australia. And so while I was kind of in limbo land, we thought we would end up back in China. So we came back and I was like, well, what am I going to do while I'm here in Australia for 6 months? And someone offered me to help with the national website in building it in Joomla. And I was like really excited. I was passionate about getting this web page amazing. And we just hit roadblock after roadblock and I didn't know what I was doing. And we actually never got it done. Like we never got that website done. And I remember kind of leaving that moment, like I had a kid and so I had to step back from it. But I just felt like we never got there and I'd been there 10 years and we had the same web page and it wasn't mobile friendly. And, you know, it just, I just had this passion, I think. So anyway, me and my husband ended up deciding it was time to move on from the nonprofit, come back closer to family where, with kids, and I had to just get a regular job just to cover our expenses.
Yeah.
And so I worked for a couple of years and through that got lots of more opportunities to do graphic design. So I ended up working as a digital designer with them, which wasn't websites but more like interactive PDFs and that side of things, which I loved and I really enjoyed doing it. But I still just felt like I wasn't quite doing what I was meant to be doing. And it hadn't really hit.
Yeah.
So I then got pregnant with my second kid. And while I was on maternity leave, my kid just was this amazing sleeper. Like he would sleep for 6 hours a day. And I know that's like the worst thing to say to anyone who's a mom out there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My first kid wasn't like that, but my second kid was, and I was at home. My son was in school and childcare and my older son. And so I had all this time and I decided to get on lynda.com. And I got a subscription for 3 months. I asked my parents for my birthday for a subscription and I just went for it. Like nice. I did every course I could think of. I decided I was going to do web design. And so I just started learning. I learned HTML and CSS. I did their basic course, then their intermediate course. And then I did build my first website and suddenly realized I think I need to be doing WordPress. Everyone wants a blog. Yeah. I can't just do these standalone websites. I think I'm going to have to go into WordPress. So then I again went back into Lynda and I did they're like WordPress, child themes, WordPress security. And I just went through all of their courses as quickly as I could. And so I spent about 6 months basically doing that. And I loved it. I cannot speak more highly. I know it's expensive, but yeah. for me, it just
they're was so good, though.
A great learning yeah. tool. Yeah. So yeah, so then after that point, I was back then to work part-time, doing my digital design. But on the side, I decided I was going to spend, my ideal was 2 years to build up a portfolio. So
how did you do that? What was your process of actually becoming a freelancer?
Yeah. Well, what I decided to do was find friends who needed a website. So I think I didn't feel confident in myself. Like even though I had done the training and I understood it conceptually, I felt like I needed to really get my hands dirty. And I thought if I can build 10 websites just for friends and family, they can pay for the hosting, but I'll do the building side of it for free. If I can build 10 websites, I think I'll feel a lot more confident in charging for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I found like I had a friend who was a landscaper. I had a friend who was like a gas fitter electrician.
Okay.
I just kind of went around to different friends who either had a really bad website or
no website at all.
And just said, look, I'm learning. I'd love to do it for free for you. If you can pay for the hosting and be a little bit gracious with your time, like with me learning as I go, I'd love to do it for you for free. And for them, it was great because... Yeah. You know, they got something out of it. Yeah. And for me, it was great because I didn't have that pressure of, but I've paid you this much money and you haven't achieved. And so I felt like it just gave me a little bit of breathing room. And at the same time, I could slowly build up my portfolio on my website. So I kind of thought then I'd get to this point. So my plan was 2 years, but then all of a sudden I got to the 1 year mark and realized it just wasn't going to work with my son in school. And I was finding it really hard to manage part-time work and doing this stuff at nighttime. Like I was just exhausted trying to fit it all in. I don't know how
you could do that. I mean, I've worked two jobs before and I don't know how you could do, you know, two kids, part-time job and web design business. That's sounds insane to
me. It was crazy. Like I was just getting completely exhausted. And I think more and more my heart was realizing I just wanted to do the web design stuff.
Yeah.
That's really where I wanted to be. And so that was, you know, it was kind of the moment to just bite the bullet. Like, although I was petrified and we had certain expenses that we had to cover and there was part of me that really thought I'd done the wrong thing for a little while. Mm-hmm. And we just decided, let's just go month by month. Like if we make it to the end of this month and we've covered the expenses we need to cover, then we'll just keep going. And like all the business websites say, you've got to give it 5 years for a business to realistically make it.
Sure.
And so we just took it month by month. And what I'm finding is websites lead to websites. You know, people talk to people. I don't think people trust advertising. I think people trust people. And what I've found is I build a website and they know someone who needs a website. And so it just keeps going. And so I'm hoping that we'll just keep going that way, but we'll see.
No, that actually really lines up with what a lot of other guests have said is that referrals have been their number one source of business is once they get going, the referrals keep them more than busy. So but some people are so busy with referrals that they're actually starting referral networks where they're handing, you know, they're giving work off to other people in the community. And I think it's great. I think it's probably your best bet for staying busy with quality clients and quality work and building a good reputation. Because like I said, if you're in the position of now handing work off to other people who have a good reputation and building this rapport with not only in the community, but with a network of clients, it can only be for everyone's benefit in that situation. Yeah. So,
I think so.
Yeah. So maybe we can start to switch into talking about, you know, I'm sure you really had to get serious about developing these systems. when you had all of that going on, when you had the kids, the part-time job, web design, and you had to fit everything in a very small amount of time. I mean, the only way you could get it done, I would imagine, is if you had just really strict controls over every element of your work. Could you maybe start to speak to where you started and like, how about this? Tell us about when you figured out that you had to get serious about systems.
Yeah.
What some of those first systems were, and then if you can, maybe a little bit about how it's evolved now.
Yeah, it is most certainly evolved. And I think I have wasted the most amount of money in this last year that I could possibly have wasted, but I don't see it as being a bad thing. I kind of just see it as being part of the journey. And I think what I'm realizing, you know, you get all these recommendations through the Facebook groups or whatever about different hosts or different security plugins and I kind of tried them all in some ways because I think each of us is different, and even the systems that are working for me, they're not necessarily going to work for someone else. And what I was finding was, you know, I started out with a certain lot of things, but sometimes they just didn't fit quite right. So when I first started out, most of it all evolved through mistakes and through errors. When you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I'm not organized enough and I'm not getting back to my emails enough. So some of the first things I put in place was I created 3 different email accounts, which kind of sounds over the top, but I had one that came straight through my website. So if someone contacted through the website, it would highlight in a particular color on my email. So I knew that it was an inquiry straight away. And that just helped me get through the fluff because you get so much emails coming through. So then I have one email account that just has all my signups to everything so that then, you know, I can carefully filter through that. And then I have one email account that's just to do with administration. So I have all my security warnings coming into there, all my backup errors and those kind of things, so that then I can manage from a technical side. And it just kind of segregated what was going on, so I wasn't spending so much time kind of filtering through. Sure. Most of the time I knew that middle email account, that could come later, but I knew I needed to deal with anything that came through the website straight away, for example.
I think I do something similar. I use a lot of Gmail filters, Gmail filter for the same reasons.
They're great because they filter out all of the junk and, you know, you can just make sure you get to the things that are really important first. It was interesting going from a nonprofit where there's no money and you learn to do things all yourself. Like you spend hours and hours and hours doing something that you could pay someone to spend 1 hour doing, but you would do it for hours and hours. And I think I came with such a strong mentality of I have to do everything myself and I have to just spend the time learning how to do it. And in some ways I agree with that, but in some ways I just felt like I needed to accept the real world that if I can pay someone, like, so roughly my hourly rate is $100 per hour.
Okay.
And so if I could pay someone $100 per hour or pay for some like system or some plugin that was going to do something that I would spend 10 hours learning how to do, well, that's actually beneficial. But it was really hard for me to wrap my brain around spending money. Oh, this is kind of jumping into the next section, but to save money.
Sure.
So instead of trying to like learn everything myself, actually open myself up to what was around. So I initially went with iThemes, pretty much everything. I quite liked iThemes system. So I had iThemes Security, iThemes Sync. I did iThemes Security Pro, iThemes Sync, and Backup Buddy. And then I was on a server just here in Australia, a good one. I decided not to go like GoDaddy or anything, but go with a really good local server, which is called Digital Pacific. They're in Queensland. They're amazing. And that was great. It was a really great way to start. But what I did find over time was that I was spending a lot of time checking Backup Buddy errors. And I was spending a lot of time with my security errors coming in. And I actually found that Backup Buddy and iTheme Security didn't play nicely, which seems ridiculous. But when I then went to my great sites, or all of a sudden there was this time where one of my sites went down and I had to get it back up. And I thought I had Backup Buddy sorted, but it didn't migrate so well. And I had that heartbreaking moment of like, what am I going to do? And in the end it was fine. And I felt like I'd kind of, you know, oh, that was a close call kind of thing. But for me, it's those moments where I suddenly went, nah, I have to, if I want to run a really legitimate business where people are going to trust me and I'm promoting that I do daily backups and that I am onto it, and within 24 hours, I will have your website back up and running, I need to have the confidence myself that that's sorted, like that that is absolutely ready to go. And so I started to kind of look around a little bit more at that point, I think, to make sure. So I ended up switching over to WordFence Pro because it actually migrated better with Backup Buddy. So again, like I'd spent all this money on iTheme security, but then I decided to spend money on WordFence Pro. And I was really glad that I did. It was functioning a lot better and working together a lot better. And then I got to this point where I was like, you know what? I think I'm spending so much time just checking all these things and not 100% sure that these backups, I feel really confident in them, that I decided to go to WP Engine. So it's a significant step up in financial cost in terms of hosting costs. And I was really happy with Digital Pacific, but choosing to go to a WordPress specific host who manages the backups themselves and they manage a lot of the security themselves felt like it's, even though I was spending more money, I was suddenly able to step back from those tasks that were taking me 1 to 2 hours a week of just making sure they were functioning. Well, that's say $200 a week of my time that I'm spending. And I think what I've realized is, being a mom and trying to manage, like I'm trying to run a full-time business, but I have an hour and a half during the day and then I have 4 hours at night to work. I need to use that time and really protect that time and not spend it on things that I could just spend a little bit of money on.
Yeah.
And get it sorted and know 100% that, so you know, if like I need to roll a site back.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a combination between the work smarter and save money, which is, you know, spend a little money so that you can, you know, you can save time, save effort. And in the end, save on, you know, actually save money because you can charge, like for WP Engine, for instance, you can actually charge a little bit more because you know that your hosting and security and backups are top of the line. And and people are going to, you know, they're always going to appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so. And it's like, I know when you're starting a business, there's that thing of, well, I don't really have very much money and I don't know how to like invest as I'm getting going. And again, it's that thing I think of just biting the bullet sometimes, like just throwing yourself out there. Like I had to spend an entire kind of website's income to get myself over to WP Engine, you know, like kind of redirect that money. But for me, it happened to be the best thing that I could have done. And I'm not saying, you know, oh, that's definitely the one everyone should go with. But for me, it meant I was able to step away from those mundane things. Like you were saying, like, would you employ someone to do some of those things? I kind of am paying someone to do it. It's just that it happens to be a company who's managing some of my things so that I can step away from that and instead spend the time, you know, if a client gets to me, I can deal with that straight away. I don't have to think, I know it's there. I know it's ready to go. I don't have that stress inside of, I don't know if
there's like, I really like hope this plugin I'm using is working or whatever the case may
be. Yeah. I think there's a lot of stress and, you know, our reputations are on the line running a business, and I want to know that I'm not going to be the person that a client starts blabbing about saying, oh, she was terrible. She didn't know what she was doing. You know, I want to know I've got that backing me up as I'm moving forward. So I probably moved more into the spend money to save, save time. But, I think that has made a really big difference for me, just being willing to invest in things that then were able to back me up as a web designer. I mean, there's plenty more things.
Sure. Well, let's talk about some of those other things. I mean, you kind of sent me a list as we were prepping for this of some of the things that you do that you would qualify or you would define as a system. Tell me about some templates. You said that you are a huge fan of templates and that you use templates to help speed up your work and help you do better work more consistently. What are some of the templates you use and how do you put them into play?
Well, again, this one evolved over time. So what I found was, like I was saying, my time is really precious. And I found myself again and again reproducing the same things over and over again. So like I would reproduce the same email explaining who I was, what I did, what they would get for the money, answering the same questions again and again and again. And I kind of would write it in a slightly different way each time. And I was thinking, oh, this could get me in trouble one day, because what if I put something in someone's email and not in someone else's email? And I just hadn't taken the time to step back. I was so madly trying to build websites that I would just rewrite this email every time. But then I realized if I just made a frequently asked questions page on my website, then I can just send people to that page and say, this is how it works. Like, this is my process and this is what you get out of it. And this is my maintenance and this is what's provided. And instead of rewriting that email every time, that saved me half an hour for every client. And I'm thinking, that's amazing. Like not having to rewrite that every, or even just having some email templates that are ready to go that kind of, you know, say, hi, how are you going? Great to get you, you know, having so a few just things.
Thinking of any aspect of your business that you do over and over again and creating a template for it, whether that's design, email, whatever. So what are some other templates? I mean, do you use design templates, mockups, invoices?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I do my design mockups, I do them in Illustrator, and part of that's come through having a design background. But by having, you know, often a lot of the things in Divi have similar shapes and forms. Yeah. And so what I've found is if I just have one that's already pre-built, then I can just move things around a little bit, change colors. And instead of recreating, say, like the Divi menu every time, or like getting some of Elegant Themes templates and then pulling some of the aspects that I tend to use again and again and again, then I just have like this one Illustrator file that I can change around. So one of the things I offer to my clients is I do two designs for every client. And I do that. I actually got that advice from my dad. So he's an architect, and he said to me, when he does designs, he always does two really different designs for clients and then lets them choose and then continues to work on one of them a little bit further. And I thought it was a really interesting concept. And I know, again, this is a counterintuitive thing of spending more time in this phase. But by creating two designs, what I've found is clients take more ownership over what they get is as the end result. So they actively choose one of those designs and then
and this
we
is
modify
in
it.
The mock-up stage, right?
Yeah. So it's all in Illustrator, which I feel very quick and confident in, which is great. Some people will feel more confident just to whip up a Divi site itself as their mock-up. But I really like that I can think beyond my skill in the mock-up phase. I know Divi enough to know what's possible, what's not possible. But I also know, I don't know how to do that, but I'm pretty sure I could figure it out.
So
if they go for it, then
then
that's
you go
great.
Figure it out. And you're getting paid to figure it out.
And I kind of like pushing the envelope a little bit. Like I like not just doing the standard same old site over and over again. Like I get bored doing the same thing. So I kind of love it when my sites can always be different to each other. And so, yeah, the thing I like about spending a little bit more, sorry, I just dropped my mouse, about spending a little bit more time in the design phase is the client really gets sold on it and they kind of fall in love with the design. And then it's just a matter of me creating it, which I can spend more time later doing that. And so I don't know. I think actually it saves me time in the long run because I don't spend all this time technically figuring out all the technical sides of making it all work. Instead, I've done that in the design phase and then it's just a matter of like knocking it out. Like I actually find then the build side is heaps quicker if I spend a bit of time in that design phase and getting that right. So usually I just do the homepage. I don't do like the entire website mock-up.
Just to get
just
style.
Just getting the feel.
Yeah,
and then it's often really quick then when I'm building it. So, yeah, it's one of those counterintuitive things. I think when you spend a bit of time in that phase, you actually save a ton of time in the building phase.
So we've talked a few ways about, you know, working smarter, saving money by spending a little money in different areas so that you can bring a system. So if you have to manage something completely, you're spending a lot of time and the money part of it is kind of in your time, the value of your time. So the other thing that we want to talk about is how to bring systems into our workflow and our daily life that actually just make our life better. You know, we spend a lot of time working, but if that's all we do, or if that's or if we work in a way that's not, you know, healthy for us, then we're not going to have a very fun time about it. What are some things that you've done for yourself? Whether it's systems, habits, routines, whatever you want to call it, what are some of these things that you've developed to just make your life and work better?
I think this is another one where I'm not there yet. I'm still working it out, but I've learned through mistakes. Mm-hmm. So having a family and having kids to manage, I think there have been times where I'll just be working 24/7. Like I'll be sitting on the couch with my kids while they're watching TV and I'll just be madly working. Shut up. I'm just trying to like get this thing done. And, you know, and then I've had phases where like I had the flu for a whole month and I virtually didn't work. And, you know, like we've gone kind of one way and the other. And I don't think either are healthy, obviously. Like, sure. I think I probably got the flu because I was working too hard. And I think there is something about finding that balance. So for me, with our lifestyle, I have tried to really protect my work time. And then in the other times, I try to not come and go from it too much. You know, I am on my phone a bit and I will check my emails and I try to respond to my clients within half an hour or an hour, even if it's just to say, got your email or deal with it tonight.
So protect your work time, but also protect your non-work time so you can take a real break.
I think so. And I think, so like I have this hour and a half in the middle of the day, then I have this time at night. I've also separated that up a little bit so that during the day I try not to do design and development during the day. So I try to do, you know, my finances and all that quadrant two stuff. I don't know if you know.
Business administrative type stuff.
Yeah, like trying to get, you know, emails to clients, quotes, invoices, just all that technical things because I feel like in an hour and a half to 2 hours, I can fit a lot of that in.
Oh, yeah.
And it means I stay on top of it because when I get behind on those things, then it stresses me out and nothing is working properly and I'm not getting paid. And so I try and get that all done there. And then at nighttime when I have this big block of time, that's when I try and design and, you know, just put some music on and the kids are all asleep and then I can really focus on what I'm doing. And then if it runs on and I stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, like that's okay. I can't do that a few nights in a row. And I think I am learning about myself that I can do maybe 2 in a row really late nights. But then after that point, I'm going to need like a 9 o'clock bedtime where I miss out on some of that work time. And I think some of it's about getting to know yourself, like getting to know that if you're sitting and working at nighttime and you get to like 8 p.m. and you're just like falling asleep or and you're like trying to push through, it's pointless because you're spending double the amount of time to do anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, if I just go to sleep early one night, then the next day I can smash out a bunch of work.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think for me, it's about understanding I'm not going to be productive tonight. I should watch TV for tonight. Just step away from it.
Yeah.
And it's that serendipity thing, I guess, of like, step away from work tonight. I'm not being productive. I'm not being creative. I'm not achieving. Or even in some of those moments, instead of like doing all of that stuff, I might clean up my computer or something, like something that doesn't take a lot of brain power, but is still actually really helpful and is still moving things along. But just recognizing in yourself, look, I'm not in the right space right now. I'm not going to achieve anything. And I'm just going to waste 10 hours of my time compared to later.
Have you ever heard of a book called The Power of Full Engagement?
No, I haven't.
So this is, I was really excited when you picked this topic because, ritual is my term for it, is kind of how I think about these things, has been a huge theme for me for a few years now. And it was actually when I heard this talk by a guy named Tony Schwartz. He's the author of that book, The Power of Full Engagement, that I just mentioned. And he gave a talk several years ago at the 99% conference. And it was all about, you know, creating healthy habits and rituals throughout your day to get the most out of your work time, you know, to work, you know, to be more productive in like 6 hours than you could normally be in 10 hours, to have time with your family, to get energized. And he had this whole pyramid of like different ways that you get energy. So like physical energy is one form of energy. Emotional energy is another form of energy. Then there's one that, I mean, he called it spiritual energy, but really what he's talking about is like energy that you get when you have like purpose in your life, whatever that might come from.
Yeah.
And And he has these different hierarchies, and he talks about how like the quickest thing you can do to give yourself a boost of energy, if nothing else changes, is just a change in your perspective, you know, like that spiritual energy or the purpose energy. So decide what it is you're working for and like find the why behind what you do. And all of a sudden everything that you're doing, it's just going to feel, you know, you're going to feel it more. You're going to feel into it more.
Yeah.
And so reading his book and kind of going through some of his stuff was really when I kind of got my shit together as a freelancer for the first time. Like I had all these systems that I did, but they were kind of ad hoc and they were, you know, from the perspective of someone who didn't really know what they were doing, but was stumbling around. And here's this person who had this really great, you know, concept of how this should go. Cause he'd been doing it for years professionally for athletes. And then he switched into the art and design world and started doing it for designers, like this consulting service. And I sort of started there, and I guess just to share a bit of my story a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah. No, it's great.
I came up with this thing that I called Win the Day. And this was my this was my overall framework. And I had all these rituals where I broke down my day into, okay, what do I do first thing in the morning? And I would kind of just like think back to, okay, last 10 days I've gotten up and I've done X, Y, Z first thing in the morning. Is that the best way for me to spend that time? What would make me happier, more productive, et cetera? And I could maybe write some ideas down. And then I'd try that for a while. And I'd like set these time days, be like, I will do this for 7 days. If I like it after 7 days, I'll keep doing it. If it drives me nuts after 7 days, I'll make some adjustments and just keep tweaking it until I get to where I like it. And I think for me, the key perspective change was the fact that whatever I'm doing in my day, every day, if I didn't examine that, if I didn't have the self-awareness to look at it and examine it and decide whether or not I wanted to do it, I was basically just living my life on the default settings that I didn't choose. You know, most of the time it was purely reactive. Yeah. And I was just doing work, doing life, however I just happened to do it without really any thought or craft to it. And then I was like, wow, I can, if I take the time to think about it, to be intentional about it, I can actually change almost every aspect of my life without anything, you know, any change in my material wealth, any change in my, you know, position of authority or anything like that, just by being self-aware. And so I started doing this thing called Win the Day, where I would say, well, I can't change my whole life all at once, but I can change the way that I do breakfast. And I would find my favorite way to do breakfast. And if I did that in the morning, boom, I won the day. That was my win the day. And then over time, I would just sort of add to that. I would say, okay, for a month, I'm going to win the day by winning breakfast. And then once that became so ingrained that I didn't have to think about it anymore, I would add a new thing to it. So I did this and I went through not only all my meals, because that was a goal of mine, was to eat healthier, to have more energy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do more walking. I wanted to spend more family time and friend time. And I wanted to work on personal projects more. And I just did it one goal at a time, one thing at a time. And it was amazing. I mean, just these little ritual habits, these systems. I mean, this sounds almost infomercial, but I mean, I lost almost like 60 pounds. I got, you know, new work, a new life in my work. I got a lot of new clients. I got a whole new different direction because I was able to be more focused and do the kind of work that I wanted to do. And so it changed the direction of my freelancing. I spent way more time with friends and family. It just really improved my life and it improved my work. Yeah. And all I did was, you know, pick a ritual and do it for 30 days and then pick a new ritual, do it for 30 days. It's not going to happen overnight, but you're going to look back all of a sudden and be like, holy crap, my whole life is different. And all I did was choose a system or a framework to live inside that was better than the one that was like the default setting. So that's how this has affected me. But I mean, I didn't mean to like go on a super long rant, but I love this kind of stuff. Cause I think it's genuinely really helpful.
Yeah. I think generally they say habits take 30 days to form. Mm-hmm. And so you have to stick at something for 30 days for it to be able to go. But it's really hard for us as people not to want to just change everything. Like just feel like, oh, my life is in chaos. I have to change absolutely everything, but it's impossible for us to change everything all in one go. So, I mean, I love the idea of just like tweaking, you know, just bringing one new thing into your workflow and just seeing if that can make one bit of difference as you move forward. I really liked what you're talking about with the physical, emotional, spiritual changes. Like, I would
recommend that book to anybody. Powerful Engagement. He talks about all those. It's great. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, like, without having read that, it's kind of a little bit a part of my journey. Like, for me, I love running, and is like a really big part of my life. I got glandular fever last year, and it's impacted that a little bit. Mm. And I really noticed, like, getting the flu this year, really noticed the difference that it actually really impacts my mental health to not have that outlet of physical, you know, just getting out there and having a little bit of space as well. Like, I love listening to podcasts or audiobooks or whatever when I'm running, but just having a little bit of space. But then something about breathing deeply and just looking after my body physically somehow makes me more alert and more ready to go.
Absolutely.
Spending time with my family, so the emotional side of things, like spending time with my husband and making sure I'm not just workaholic. And then the why stuff, the meaning, I think is super important. Like, that one of the articles you sent through, the last one, it had heaps of off links, and I just went off on all these off links. And one of them, the guy was talking about, if it's not hell yeah, then it's not. And so he was kind of saying, you know, if it's not something where you're passionate about it, then you're not going to be really into it. And I think, you know, when you're first starting web design, you feel like, I just need any job. Like, I will take on any single job that comes my way. And I remember I said to this lady, like right in the beginning, oh yeah, I'll do a web page for you, no problems. And I didn't even ask her what her business was. She's a romance novelist. And for me, it just wasn't my thing. Like, I didn't really look at those kind of web pages, and when I did, they were really ugly and it just wasn't where I fit. And I ended up spending hours and hours and hours on the job. I don't love the web page. It's not on my portfolio. I did it for virtually no money. And it was because in the beginning I was desperate. And I think I've learned, for me, like where I came from, wanting to help small businesses to be able to promote themselves, or wanting to help charities, or that by having that meaning and that why and that, oh my goodness, by doing this for this small business, that is going to change that person's life. Mm-hmm. And even if they're paying me for it, I can be a part of giving back to the community or giving to this small business, even if they're paying for my services, that why gives me passion that makes me go beyond just pulling off whatever, like just making some web page, but actually bringing in, you know, like really cool elements, or making it that little bit funkier, or adding some extra little form or benefit. Yeah. And I think it makes you excited about your work. It makes you want to work on it. And then you're more productive with your time. So I really like those three things. I think they're very much a part of what's important to me as a web designer.
Fantastic. Well, I think we're getting up to our time limit on the interview. So I like to end each interview with something just called the parting thought. And it's basically just a time for us to sort of crystallize a single takeaway for people based on our main topic. And I guess my question to you would be, you know, if you were to start over again and you didn't have to go through all the evolving process that you did, you know, I kind of gave my idea of that. I still do the win the day concept. So I always have something that I'm like, okay, let's refine this daily ritual. If you had to start over again, what would you do differently? How would you start, implementing systems, with the information that you've learned since you started?
Oh, that's a big question.
I know.
If I was to start over again, I think, there's a couple of elements. I think if I was to start over again, I would try more services out straight away. So I would get, like, instead of spending a whole year doing all the trials for all the different services that are available, I would do it in a really short space of time and nail down a bit quicker what's going to fit me, and recognize that it's not just like, not one package is going to fit everybody, but it's a matter of working out your own personality. And I think as a part of that, taking the time to step back and work out, well, who am I and how do I work? Am I good at night times, or am I good in the mornings, or how can I separate my time so that I am the most productive that I can possibly be, whether it's using particular tools or whether it's working on particular projects at different times of the day, whether it's saying no to those clients that you're just going to hate and you're not going to have fun and you're not going to be passionate about, even though it's money, to, you know, to be a bit more, I guess, heart focused of, you know, letting that passion drive you, but then using, allowing myself to spend money and use tools that are going to help me be more productive, look more professional and achieve the job in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah. I think that's something that's a great point. I think that's a great note to leave off on. And I guess just to put my own summary on that is, you know, when I've seen this over and over again with different guests and in my own life and work is that, you know, it's so scary to say no to money, but saying yes to things that you're going to hate is never going to work out in the long term ever. I mean, it's just not. It might get you the bills paid a month or two if that's what you got to do. And we've all been there. We've all had to do that. But if that's your policy to just say yes to everything, you got to rethink it. You got to rethink it and find out what it is that's going to make you happy every day. And I guess you got to realize that happy doesn't necessarily mean like happy go lucky every day. It just means like a sense of satisfaction in the work that you're doing. Like you're still going to have to work hard.
And being proud of it.
Yeah. Like you're still going to have to work hard, but you can look back on it and be like, this is something I'm really pleased with. This is something I can put my name on and be proud of.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
All right. Well, that sounds like a parting thought to me. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on Divi Nation today.
No problems. Thanks for having me.
I'd just like to extend one more big thank you to Sarah for coming on the show and sharing her experience with us. I'm sure that she's going to be more than happy to answer questions in the comments section, but since this was a topic that we both had a lot to say about, I'll be down there answering questions about the theme today as well. We've got one more segment left in today's show, another edition of Divi Quick Tip. This time around, I'll be showing you how to create modules that appear to be overlapping with another section. Check it out.
In this Divi Quick Tip, I'm going to show you how to create a module that appears to overlap two page sections, like this. This is great for adding design elements that break the grid and add a bit of novelty to a Divi page. Here's how it's done. First, navigate to your page builder and set up the sections and modules that you're going to use. So right here, I have two sections, one on top of the other. The overlapping section, or the part that's going to appear to overlap, is this call to action, but what I need to edit is the row that it's in. So go ahead and open those settings up in that row. You want to scroll to the bottom and give it a CSS class. I called mine CTA-overlap, but you can choose whatever you want. When you've labeled it, go ahead and click save and exit. Next, open up the section settings immediately below that and give it a CSS class as well. I chose section-overlap. But again, you can choose whatever you want. When you're finished, click save and exit. Now you're going to head over to the E panel and scroll down to the bottom to the custom CSS section. You're going to enter in this bit of CSS. You can find this bit of code in the accompanying blog post for this quick tip. YouTube viewers, you can just go to the video description for a link, and audio listeners, you're going to want to visit our blog at elegantthemes.com/blog and find the post for Divi Nation episode 12. It's going to be in the community category. Depending on the rows and elements you're using, you may have to tinker with the percentages for height and top. You're also going to want to change the background color to match the section that you're overlapping into. I had to choose a gray for mine, but you might have a different color. When you've copied the code and made any necessary tweaks, go ahead and click save and check out the results. You should now have a module that appears to be overlapping two sections. Well, that's all for this Divi Quick Tip. If you have a request for a future Divi Quick Tip, feel free to put it in the comments wherever you are listening to or viewing this episode. You can also send your request to me by email at podcast@elegantthemes.com with the subject line Divi Quick Tip Request.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Next week on the podcast, I sit down with Dave Cahill of RiverNet Computers, where he and his brother have set up a local brick-and-mortar operation that does everything from hardware builds and repair to data backups and recovery to web design and development. Dave and I talk about the importance of letting your curiosity and passion guide you, particularly in what you choose to learn and the side projects that you pursue.
it is possible to do something that you love. So if you're sitting somewhere and you're looking around, you're like, I hate this place I'm in. I love this podcast, but I hate this job. Pick it up because you could do it at home. It's fun. It's awesome. There's no shortage of work.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. See you next week.